VGMP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of VGMP Retro, where we release classic episodes of VGMP with a slight polish, slight tune-up for your listening pleasure. Today, we are revisiting a old, forgotten game show from the 1980s.
Yep, 1983.
And the takeaway from this is you're about to see why you don't do a game show where little girls play against grown men. Because yes. No one wins in that situation. Today we're talking about Starrcade, not the WCW pay-per-view.
Yes.
The 1980s game show.
No, the much more famous 80s game show about video games.
Yeah.
It is literally a game show akin to something like Wheel of Fortune or that sort of thing. There is no narrative. There is no...
Yeah, it's a bit of a unique episode in the VGMP pantheon.
Yeah.
In the sense that it was the first non-fiction show we ever covered.
Yep.
I think the only non-fiction show we've covered thus far.
Yeah, so it's the fifth episode of season one. So we hadn't yet, you know, figured certain things out. It is, I think, currently the only non-fiction one. The
reason it was hard
for that
to know what to talk about in this one.
Yeah, so...
So there's a lot of jokes.
Yeah, there was a reason why this was the only one. We decided not to delete it, because we know that since it's already exists, you guys might as well hear it on the Reduxes. But essentially, it'd be like trying to do a recurring or an hour and a half long divulgence into Wheel of Fortune. After you point, you go, well, this guy said this, he guessed this, and it didn't work, or it did work. What have you got left? We did find some humour with this one, though. There was two different hosts over the four seasons that it had. And we had... The first one didn't seem to give a toss and was a bit of a dick.
Contractual obligations.
Yep. And then the second one, he seemed to be genuinely enjoying himself, which was good. But there was a couple of unprofessional moments, like where he calls out someone off screen who's clearly a member of the crew.
Yeah.
Trying to tell him something. And then he also had this weird line, which you'll hear in the episode about the year 1970, which we then thoroughly disprove. It's it's an oddity, and I hope you'll get to enjoy it, but if you do want to hear any more about non-fiction shows, or if you've decided that, yeah, once is enough, then you can join us on our Discord, which you can get the link from on www.vgmovie.co.uk. Yeah, and you can discuss your memories of this show here, if you have it. Bear in mind, it was released in the 1980s. You can still watch this show if you want on Amazon Prime. Seasons 1 and 4, I think, are available. Though they show up as seasons 3 and 4. But season 1 was the only one with the first host, and the first host is what they've in the whole of what they call season 3. So it must be season 1. But they're paid to watch each episode.
Oh, so don't do it.
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
Just listen to our episode and then move on.
Yeah, but if you wanted to do it, it is available to people at the very least. Yeah, let us know if you've seen it. If you haven't, jump on our Discord, get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you about this and any of the other adaptations that we cover. And please let us know if you'd like to hear us cover more non-fiction video game franchises or not. And now on to the show.
Welcome back to the Video Game Movie Podcast with myself, Rory Jocelyn of Cyberpunk Studios, and I'm joined once again by bestie boy Jamie Evans from Impala Films.
What, what?
See, and today we're watching his favourite show.
I've literally never heard of this show until today.
Exactly, and now it's your favourite show.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, so is it, or was it trash TV?
Well, we'll find out, won't we, as we go along. I doubt it's trash TV. After all, it's on American TV, and American TV is the best TV.
That's true, but spoiler alert, it's trash TV.
Well, all American TV is trash TV, isn't it?
No.
What would you classify as not trash TV?
Americans make the best, like, all my favourite TV programmes except Doctor Who. Or Britain, or America.
So your favourite TV show is not American, is what you're saying?
Well, no, Doctor Who's not my favourite of all time.
Is it not? What's your favourite?
My favourite of all time is The X-Files.
Yeah, and that's British.
No, it's not.
I know, I'm lying. The famous British FBI.
Think about it. X-Files, Buffy, Dexter, Breaking Bad, You know?
Yeah, no.
Ash versus Evil Dead, these are all American shows.
I know, and I'm just winding you up.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But
yeah,
saying, and you're saying that...
You're a big Star Trek fan.
I am, Star Trek's incredible, but...
I mean, whoa, Michael Cole, let's dial that back a bit. Incredible?
Yes.
Is it?
I'm sorry, you watch Doctor Who. You can't complain about Star Trek.
Doctor Who is my
No way. Doctor Who wishes it could get anywhere near the... Anyway, Doctor that's Who not the argument we're having
orders
today.
Orders of magnitude.
Lower, yes. But the... Let's get back to the topic. We're not discussing how much Star Trek beats
Doctor
Who.
The topic is that we're going to sack this off and start a new podcast called Doctor Who versus Star Trek.
Yeah, well,
Gallifrey versus the Federation.
We just call it Why Star Trek is Best. That'll be the name of the show. Anyway.
Hang on, which one's got the world record for longest running science fiction show?
Oh no, with the biggest freaking gap between seasons because they killed a doctor in the 80s and didn't bother reviving it till the 2000s.
There's actually not that big a gap between Doctor Who.
Is there not? Classify the made-for-TV movie.
It's canon.
Yeah, but it doesn't count.
So 89 to 96... It was
but
off.
It's a BBC made-for-TV movie.
To 2005.
Sorry, made-for-TV movies don't count.
He's the eighth Doctor.
Yeah, good.
He's canon.
He was there for like 5 seconds.
How long was Star Trek off the air for?
Not very long.
It was off for ages between Enterprise and Discovery.
No.
When did Enterprise end?
It was 10 years.
That's how long Doctor Who was off the air for.
Yeah, but Doctor Who was off the air for 20 years. Because I don't count the 95 made-for-TV movie.
That's because you're wrong.
Plus, no. Anyway, let's get back to business. We're not here to discuss why these things are the way I say they are.
No, wouldn't want me to bring up that Klingons are racist, would we? Let's move on.
How are Klingons racist? What?
The people in blackface.
That's the original... That's over 50 years ago, man.
Don't matter.
You're telling me there's no racism if you look back at the first few seasons of Doctor Who?
There definitely is. It's called The Talons of Wang Chung, in which white people play Chinese people
and literally
tape their eyes up.
Oh,
so let's talk about Starcade.
Starcade.
So Starcade is a game show that Rory introduced me to that aired from, was it 82 to 84?
Yes. For four seasons.
Four seasons
they
in 2 years.
They certainly condensed that in, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, when I say four seasons, they were at least 23 episodes a season.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a game show, so I guess they're fairly easy to make.
Yeah, a bit like Jeopardy.
You could just crank like several out in a... I mean, I've never filmed a game show, but I imagine you film a bunch of them in a day, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the longest part and the most difficult part is building the sets and hiring the studio. Once you've got that down pat, the rest of it's just...
Yeah, and as you pointed out, so we obviously didn't sit and watch all four seasons of this. We watched an episode from the first season and one from the last season. And as you pointed out, the set doesn't change at all.
No.
From season
to
season.
No, it does. Season four, they add a plinth.
Oh.
For one of the machines.
Oh.
I know. Oh, and it's got little lights around the side. I mean, the plinth looks a bit wonky, but...
I tell you what looked wonky was the arcade cabinet in that first episode we
watched. Well, we'll come to that. Yeah, we'll definitely come to that. So, the reason I've decided to start with this is because it's Thanksgiving in America.
Is it?
Yes.
We're recording these in advance. We're recording these in advance. When actually is Thanksgiving?
It's November.
But what day?
Yes. It's 25th. 25th of November.
So is this one coming out on the 25th of November?
Near enough. Just before, I think.
Just before
or just after, maybe.
So it's
I can't remember.
It's Starcade a Thanksgiving tradition?
Yes.
Did the pilgrims meet the Indians and sit and watch Starcade?
Well, they certainly weren't friends. Anyway... To be honest, I think American history would be better if they just sat around watching Starcade together.
In what, the 1700s or whatever it
Hey,
was.
Mate, look, the video games will bring peace to the world.
I mean...
Call
of Duty online chat proves they don't bring peace to the world.
Why has there never been? Like, you know, I know this is completely off topic. We haven't even started talking about Starcade.
There's not enough of Starcade to fill a whole episode, so go
but
ahead.
But why is it, like, with film, there's, like, a connected porn industry, right? So...
Porn parodies.
Yeah, things like that. Why is it you had something like Call of Duty and they didn't have like a porn parody like Call of Booty?
There is Call of Booty.
Is there?
Have you seen Call of Booty?
No, is it?
It's alright.
Is it a video game or is it a film?
No, there's a movie.
Well, that's not the same, is it? So, like, it's a different
movie.
No, but it's a different medium. That's what I mean, like an actual Call of Duty parody
but
video
as a game.
Yeah,
well, if you're after a pornographic video game, I refer you to Leisure Suit Larry.
I'm not, but I know of Leisure
Which
Suit
I have
Larry.
I played one of those.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you do not feel good about yourself afterwards.
No. But the point is like, it's just a bit odd that there isn't a, like, a separate runoff industry for it, like there was for everything else. Not that I want one, it's just
an
odd one.
I did remember, I actually read an article years ago, I believe on Cracked.com. I used to be a big fan of Cracked.com. They used to be genuinely funny, and then they got crap. but they did an article once about games and game paraphernalia that was banned in the West.
Right.
And there was this Japanese game, but it's like a live-action... It had live-action footage in it,
ooh,
and it was just naked women, and it was like a rhythm game... To satisfy them. But they also had these peripherals like, I might be making this up in my sick head, but I'm sure I'm not. They had a, I can't remember if this was Cracked just having a joke or not, but basically there was a plug-in for your PS2.
Oh no, I don't want to know
plugged
anymore.
Into the second controller slot, and it was attached to a vibrator.
No!
And the idea was that you could, basically you could get your woman off your back when she's telling you play too much video games. It's like, here, stuff this
what. Yep.
I'll play FIFA or Call of Duty. And I'm about to say this really dirty.
No.
It vibrates in tune to what's happening on the game. So here's how you play Call of Duty.
That ruins the Nintendo Rumble Pack for me.
You start with the pistol, just like bang, bang, bang. That's nice, that's right. Then you really want to kick it up a notch.
Mini gun.
So you machine gun.
Look, let's move on. Let's move on swiftly. This is a Thanksgiving, not a pornographic episode.
You brought up pornographic.
I did actually.
We're not even drunk. We're recording this at fucking... Oh my God, it's 1 o'clock. How's it get to 1 o'clock?
I don't know. Clock. Anyway, so, Starcade. Starcade is one of the first series on TV based on video gaming. It wasn't the very first. It started in 1982, as Jamie stated, and in 1982 there seemed to be kind of a surge of video game content. So Starcade was one of them, which is essentially like a Jeopardy-esque video game arcade game show. 1982 was when Tron came out in cinemas, so it was the start of video game movies from Hollywood. Pac-Man Season 1 came out on TV, which was an animated show. And those three started in 1982, which was kind of the start of there being more mainstream stuff on TV based on video gaming. However, the very first video game TV show was in 1978 to 84. Now, there's not much content this on the internet.
What games were there back then? Pong?
Yeah.
Frogger?
No.
Just Pong, then.
Probably. I haven't seen any TV Power. Now, the reason we probably wouldn't end up doing an episode on TV Power because there isn't much of it available.
TV POW.
Yes, TV POWWW! Exclamation mark.
So like in, like 60s Batman, like POW!
Yeah. So, yeah, TV Power was kind of a similar idea to Starcade, but oddly enough, a bit more high-tech, but kind of in the bad way. A bit, so you'll remember this maybe from 90s and 2000s children's shows, but you remember when they used to do those game shows where, like on things like Saturday morning TV, and you'd have kids phone in and they would control a video game by shouting commands through their phone, and there was obviously some janky crew member trying to follow the controls they were shouted at down the phone? Popular in the 90s.
No, I've never seen that. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It often was, and people would lose their matches because they'd shout, right, 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 and the person who's like, somehow died on the controls and didn't go right, the character careens into their death, and it's, oh, well, sorry you lost. It's like... They clearly didn't lose. What's your crew member doing? He doesn't understand the term right while he's on the joystick. But yeah, so TV Power was that in 1978. So you phoned in and there was a crew member playing the video game for you based on the commands you shouted through the phone.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, so, but weirdly enough, you say it sounds awful, but it's the longest running of them. It ran from 1978 to 1984, so it ran through the entire length of Starcade itself.
Mm.
But again, there's not much of that surviving, so I thought I'd add in the history of TV Power now. TV Power now. Add in a bit of TV Power just to give some sort of preface.
To pad the episode, it's alright, you can admit.
No, to preface the importance of Starcade.
The importance, yes.
The vast cultural wealth That is Starcade. Now, part of the background was Alex Trebek was apparently the host on the second pilot for Starcade. That means nothing to us in the UK. Absolutely zero. But in America, Alex Trebek is a massive household name.
Yeah, he's
because he was the host
of popular game show host.
Yeah, most famously for being the host of Jeopardy for, like, what, 30 years?
He's like that. So for our British audience, he's like Chris Tarrant.
Is he?
I don't know. Chris Tarrant's a household name and he's a game show host.
Is he a household name now?
Chris Tarrant, yeah.
Does he do shows anymore?
What's
Isn't he in a box?
Anne Widdecombe, then.
Anne Widdecombe's not a game show host, she's a politician.
Who hosted Weakest Link?
That's not Anne Widdecombe.
Who hosted Weakest Link?
Anne Widdecombe's a Tory politician.
Who hosted The Weakest Link and was really mean to everyone? And now she's on Countdown and also being mean to people and they don't like it and they're threatening to take her off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Countdown's meant to be a calm,
gentle
show. Yeah,
and she's just slagging everyone off. That only works when it's Jimmy Carr because he's slagging off comedians. Anyway, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I don't have my phone on me, so I can't even Google it.
Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. So the point is Alex Trebek did the second pilot. I don't have that second pilot because I don't think the pilots have ever been released. There were some contestants that were disqualified if they played badly on purpose during the gameplay segments because they do it to match with weaker opponents, which is interesting because when I used to play Halo online, people used to do that. You'd go into a match and people on your team would be grenading themselves to death in the corner. And you'd be like, why are they doing that? And it would be because they're reducing their ranking so that they could fight weaker opponents. Which would screw you over in the meantime because you'd end up losing. So it's interesting to note that that technique has been around for forever. Anyway.
Gaming culture is a cancer.
Yep. And it ended in 1984 due to the video game crash of 1983. Which sounds a bit weird, but I'm guessing that they'd already pre-recorded all four seasons by the time the crash happened and they decided to just play them out anyway.
Do you want to inform the audience a little bit about what the video game crash was?
Yes. So, the video game crash of 1983, it's arguable whether or not it affected anyone but America. Here's the biggest irony. It's something that, if you look up the video game crash of 1983, you'll find reams of information about how the video game industry essentially collapsed onto its knees and there was nothing left and there was just the rubble of the industry.
Is this when they were literally dumping ton loads of cartridges into landfills?
So I was going to come to that. Basically, the issue was, by 1983, you had the Atari 2600, which was the first cartridge-based console. So you could swap out your games. Usually you bought a console and it had the games pre-built in. Now you could swap them out with new cartridges.
Revolution.
Absolutely. And then there was ColecoVision and shed loads of different
Famicom?
Copycats. Not yet. No, the Famicom restored video gaming afterwards.
Okay.
So you had all these copycat consoles that did essentially the same thing. And everyone had basically the same games. Everyone had a Pong game. Everyone had a Pac-Man game. They weren't normally any good because they were much reduced from the hardware of the arcade, but there was always, like, they always had a copy of. Mm. And they always had a copy of everyone else's games that they had a copy of.
Right.
So essentially you ended up with, I think it was 50 different consoles, all with the same library, and all the libraries were clones of each other and terrible clones of each other.
Wow.
And that's why the Atari 2600 is kind of the only remembered one.
Mm.
Because at least Atari were making their own games, as well as copycatting others. But at least they were making their own games as well, and they had the arcade presence. So in America, the entire industry collapsed on itself. Because there wasn't enough money to go around. I mean, video gaming then was nowhere near as popular as now.
No.
And you had 50 consoles.
Yeah.
Running concurrently.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That's madness.
Yeah. So the industry just collapsed out of itself. Now, I've always argued that only really affected America. And the reason that I'd say it only affected America was because in the UK, we had a slightly different market. Obviously, we had the Atari 2600 and things like that. But we also had the benefit of having things like Commodore.
Mm.
So we had the Commodore 64, which followed with the Commodore Amiga, which was massive in the UK and not necessarily in America. We also had BBC had a console, the BBC Micro, which was
The British Broadcasting Corporation.
The biggest negative of that was that they never continued it. Because the BBC Micro was essentially the Raspberry Pi of its day. Loads of people in the 80s in Britain.
Raspberry Pi, what's Raspberry
Pi? Raspberry Pi, you know what a Raspberry Pi is? A Raspberry Pi is a
Raspberry Pi?
No, it's a credit card-sized PC.
What?
Have you never heard of a Raspberry Pi?
Clearly not, but you could tell that by me saying, what?
I thought you were doing a bit.
No, no, I'm not doing a bit. I don't know what Raspberry Pi is.
Okay.
Is it like a BlackBerry? They were phones. They were popular.
No, because they were phones.
I know, but it's named
a Raspberry. No, a Raspberry Pi is a full PC the size of a credit card.
What have I got this hefty chunk then?
Well, because this will be more powerful than a Raspberry Pi. I hope. But anyway, Raspberry Pi is basically a small console, that a small PC, sorry, that was made so that people could do coding on it, so children could learn how to code.
Okay.
And you can develop multiple different projects. It's all completely open source, so you can do anything you want with it so long as you learn the coding. Mm. And the BBC Micro was very similar. So a lot of the best coders in the 90s and the early 2000s were British.
Okay.
And still are. And the reason that they were British was because they grew up with the BBC Micro in schools, teaching them how to code, which wasn't common in America at the time.
You mean my licence fee has been going to pay for this crap?
No, because you weren't old enough to pay licence fee. Yeah, you weren't even born when they were doing the BBC Micro. So, no, I'm afraid not. In fact, my licence fee went to pay for you for a while, and yours is now paying for me.
I don't pay the licence fee.
Ah, neither do I.
I wrote to the BBC and said I don't watch BBC.
I did the same. Anyway, but you like Doctor Who.
Yeah, I buy it on DVD when it comes out.
But you have to pay the licence fee as well.
Quick sidebar. Once Doctor Who finishes its next season, don't matter, because BBC are losing control of it.
How? I thought it was their own...
No, yeah. They have entered a joint funding deal with Bad Wolf Productions, which is a subsidiary of Sony, and part of the deal is the BBC loses all creative control of Doctor Who. They basically just still get the merchandising rights.
Oh, that's a bad call, but okay.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for Doctor
Who
meets...
That's a dumb call as well.
Well, BBC just can't afford to make it anymore.
It's
too expensive.
Can they not?
With the special effects.
Special effects were always stellar in Doctor Who.
Well, no, I watched the new Doctor Who. They have improved them.
Yeah, but that's the problem then, isn't it?
They're trying to keep up with the demand.
Yeah, but why?
But my point is, now it's owned by Sony, I'm looking forward for Doctor Who meets Spider-Man.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. A Spideyverse. Yeah. Doctor Who's part of the Spideyverse now.
I'd love that.
A fish. Anyway, a fish? Official is what I meant, and then I'd ended it as a fish. Anyway, so Starcade itself.
Whoa. I had more questions about the video.
Oh, no, go ahead then.
How did E.T. figure into this? Because wasn't E.T. E.T.'s like commonly known as one of the worst games ever made.
Mm.
Wasn't that something to do with the video game crash? Like it was a game so bad it caused the bottom to fall out of the industry or something.
So that's an exaggeration that is very common. That was an urban legend to a degree. There is elements of truth in it. So essentially what happened was the Atari asked one of their best programmers to make them a brand new game based on the E.T. license that was meant to come out concurrently with the E.T. film. However, they gave him 2 weeks to concept, build, and finish a game from scratch.
Jesus!
So, with that in mind, when you play the game, the fact that the game is a full game and completable...
is a miracle.
It's a miracle. The problem is, of course, because it's only a 2-week-old development time, it didn't have enough time to cook, there wasn't a time to fix any... Well, to make it more fun, to make the gameplay work a bit better, to make things a bit more understandable.
Yeah.
It didn't cause the video game crash of 1983. It coincided with the video game crash of 1983.
I see.
So people often got the misconception that loads of people bought this game, went, this is turd, returned it, and then the bottom fell out the industry.
Right.
But actually, they happened concurrently. And E.T. was not really a big major part of that crash.
Right.
It just happened to be... It was just basically another example of why it happened.
Yeah.
Because
of bad practice in the industry.
Absolute bad practice in the industry. So the bottom then fell out, and they had all these leftover E.T. cartridges they knew they couldn't sell, so they dumped them all in the Mexican desert.
Yeah, and people have been looking for
them. Yeah, and it was an urban legend that people were commenting on. In fact, there's Angry Video Game Nerd, the movie... before they found the carts, for real 5 years later, he did a film where it was like, oh, imagine if we went out to look for the carts, and there was like an evil government plot to try and conceal the games. But at that point, the idea that those games were in the desert was a fiction.
Mm.
or a potential fiction, which then a documentary called Atari Game Over in 2017 went out and found the actual legit cartridges and proved that they were buried.
Yeah.
There's a grain of truth.
Okay.
But it's not the reason it crashed. It just coincided with it.
This is the last off-topic thing.
No, sure.
Price. Have you heard about the game that is the worst game ever that was designed to be the worst game ever? So I don't actually remember the name of the game. I think it's called Road to Nowhere.
Right.
It's made by the magicians Penn and Teller. And in this
game, that's the one where you drive the bus.
Yeah, you drive a bus on a straight stretch of road.
For hours, isn't it?
For hours and hours. But you can't leave the controller because the bus has a fault in its steering.
Yeah.
And if you leave the controller, the bus will pull to the left. So you have to constantly keep on the controller.
Yeah.
And just drive something like 150 miles.
Yeah, yeah. So from what I've heard, though, I could be wrong. I haven't heavily looked into that game. I believe that was meant to be a sub-game to a Penn and Teller video game.
Oh, right.
There was an actual Penn and Teller video game that was, I think, being developed for the Mega CD.
Okay.
And it was full, and it was basically a collection of mini-games. Mm. One of them was that.
Yeah. Oh.
But because they didn't get it finished, the game was never finished.
Yeah.
And at some point, it somehow found a release, either illegally or not.
Oh, right. I always thought Penn and Teller deliberately... Because Penn and Teller quite like to prank.
They do, yeah.
And I always heard they just deliberately made the worst game ever.
Right.
Just to, like, prank everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's not uncommon. On the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, there was... or Famicom in Japan. There was a...
Right. Famicom is NES.
Yeah, same console.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
More you know.
Yeah, so the SNES was the Super Famicom in Japan as well.
Intriguing.
Yeah. So anyway, it has a different design. It looks more like a toy than the NES does. The NES was designed to give it the look of more like more akin to top-loading VCR, because that would sell more in the West.
Yeah.
There was a video game by film director and Japanese comedian Beat Takeshi Kitano. I think I've mentioned him on this podcast before. He made a video game for the NES where you play as an alcoholic who comes home to his wife and gets berated by her. And you have to try and basically you have to beat the shit out of your wife and then go on an adventure to look for buried treasure.
What?
Yeah, and it's... Yeah.
That's weird.
It's a weird game. And, like, it took people years to try and figure out how to complete it.
Yeah.
And at the end it just goes, well done, you've wasted your time. It's just like, oh, all right then. So, I mean, there was some, like, celebrities sometimes go, well, I don't really know about video games, I'll just use them to prank gamers.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they did. So it wouldn't be surprising if Penn and Teller did have that as an in-joke, but I do know there was a Penn and Teller Mega CD game full of mini-games, and I believe that was meant to be one of them.
Fantastic.
Whether it was designed to be a prank game within that game, or whether it was just unfinished, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, so that's that.
So let's move on to Starcade. 25 minutes in.
See you after the break.
Okay, so we're going to start with episode 1 of season 1. We watched what is considered the pilot, though it's not the actual pilot that sold it, it's just the first episode of the series. Do you want to describe the sets and the stylings of Starcade?
So, it's very neon, very 80s, very cheap looking. It kind of looks like a rejected set from Star Trek original series, to be honest.
Actually, this is saying something. I think Star Trek original series sets look better than that.
Yeah. And there's this host named, I want to say Mark, in season one.
Mark Richards.
Who...
Young man.
Who has the charisma of a cantaloupe that has been dried out and left to go mouldy. I don't know if it's that he's not a good host, or if that he clearly just does not want to be part of this show.
Yeah.
You definitely get an ear from him that he's too good for this show.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the weird contestant setup of episode one.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So episode one, pits Heidi versus John. And we are told explicitly at the beginning that they've been matched based on their skill levels. So their skills should be comparative, right? Which is what you want for a competitive game show.
Yep.
Well, spoiler alert, they're not, because Heidi whips the floor with this guy. But here's the thing. Heidi is, what, an 8-year-old girl?
Can't be any older than 8.
Like, she's tiny, she's... God bless her, you know what, she is adorable. Like, the guys...
She looks like Annie from...
Well, they say she's auditioning to play Annie on Broadway.
I think she's the standby, actually, for the Annie on Broadway at the time,
But he's interviewing her, and she's just giving these one-word answers. She's like, are you excited to be here, Heidi?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you going to win big prizes, Heidi? I hope so.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
I think she's nervous, but it does come across a bit like, yeah, whatever, shut the fuck up.
No. Well, I was actually, I'm about to sound old as shit here, but I was watching it going, remember when kids were respectful? Because if that was a kid today, they'd be like, yeah, bitch, I'm going to win loads of prizes. Fortnite dance.
Yeah, but it's much more interesting to watch than Heidi sitting in.
Yeah. And John, well, let's talk about John. Far be it for me to judge, because I am a bridge troll, full disclosure. But John is the 40-year-old virgin.
Yes.
Like, this guy. And to be fair to John, there's no way John can win. Because if he beats Heidi, an 8-year-old girl, he's a bully.
Yeah.
If he loses to an 8-year-old girl, he's the man who lost to an 8-year-old girl.
It's literally from the off, you're like, I kind of feel sorry for you, dude. You got, yeah, there is no point where you'd be like, victory, suck it, bitch.
Yeah, the second episode we watched was much more evenly matched.
Yes, it was.
They both looked roughly the same age.
Yeah, they're probably only a year or two between them.
Yeah. But the setup is this 5 arcade games. Mm-hmm. Which are presented at the start with a voiceover.
So the games on this particular one, I didn't get one of them because they ended up not playing it. They only play 4 of the 5 that they introduced, which is weird.
Yeah.
So the 4 they played was Time Pilot, Tutankham, Burger Time, and Swimmer.
And the other one?
The other ones that I've got down here, I didn't have one.
Remind me, what 4 did you just read out? I stopped listening to you.
Time Pilot, Tutankham, Burger Time, and Swimmer.
Yeah,
they didn't play the 5th one.
Yeah,
so.
I literally can't remember the 5th one.
No.
That was the least interesting looking one.
Yeah, and they ended up not playing it.
Basically, because the contestants, they have to answer a question that's video game related, and it's a buzzer thing.
Yep.
And then they get to pick which game they're going to play. And then they get, was it 40 seconds?
40 or 50 seconds. It varied a little bit from game to game, but it never went higher than a minute.
Yeah. They get a very short amount of time in which to rack up the highest score they possibly can.
Mm.
And whoever gets the highest score wins. And they get the chance to play the bonus round.
Yes.
Where they have to answer 4 questions where they'll be shown a screenshot
of a video game.
And the host will give them 2 options. So, for example, they might show them a game that is a man in red overalls jumping down a pipe and say, is this called Super Mario Brothers or Super Wario Brothers?
Well, they didn't show those because those...
No, I'm giving an example.
Sure. Well, they named 2 actual games.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, is this Defender or Discs of Tron?
But I couldn't think of a second game that looks like Mario.
You need to be an older man.
I'm old enough as this. Yeah, but I'm still not a Nintendo fan, so that wouldn't have worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's ironic that you mention Nintendo properties, because you've famously ragged on them.
I know. Anyway, let's just talk a minute about this host, Mark, right? Because this girl, Heidi, God bless her, she gets 3 out of 4 correct, so she still wins a prize.
Yeah.
And then he turns around, he's like, well, you did badly that round. It's like, what do you mean she did badly?
No, that's so...
She got 1 wrong.
So to give the explanation of this... John wins every time they have the questions round.
Mm.
Because he knows the answers and he's quicker on the buzzer. She looks like she's quite meek, so she doesn't really get it. But then she absolutely schools him on every single game they play. So she always is the one playing the bonus round. The first bonus round, as you say, she gets the first 2 answers correct. She fails the 3rd question and then succeeds on the 4th, getting her 1 of the 2 prizes.
A mini keyboard, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, a mini keyboard. And you know it's a great mini keyboard because it goes, and it includes a calculator. You're like, right?
Okay. Who has a calculator on a keyboard?
Yeah, I know. It's so you can count to the beat.
Well, that is something. Oh, well, I do remember a period in history where we were obsessed with putting calculators in things.
Yeah, because calculators were like snazzy.
I used to have a watch when I was 12. Great big chunky watch.
A Casio?
It was some cheap plastic thing from Tesco.
Yeah, Casio.
Huge, massive, huge plastic digital watch that had a calculator on it and also a game similar to Snake.
Nice.
Well, let me tell you, if I confess this, can they take my GCSEs off me?
Yes.
Don't worry, I didn't cheat. No,
I'm only joking. They can't do anything about your GCSEs.
No, honestly, to be fair, no, I never took it into the actual exams. But we had, you know, like the little test quizzes you just have in your normal classroom. Mm. Not gonna lie, that year was a good year for Jamie because they didn't know that that watch had a calculator on it in math class,
nice.
And I'd just be like, 3.5 divided by 2 to the power.
I would have taken it with me to the exam. Stop that.
Unfortunately, I was too honest for that.
Work smarter, not harder.
AKA nerd. It's this is why Elon Musk runs the world and I slave away at a day job.
Exactly. But, so, she wins the 3 answers, gets the prize, and he goes, so how do you like those prizes? And there's like this awkward pause and she just goes, sure. So,
oh,
enthusiasm.
That's not the best reaction, but you wait till we get to the other episode.
Oh, yeah, the other episode has better reactions. Then we get to the second bonus round. She's back in play. And then he goes, well, you didn't do very well last time. Let's see what you can do this one. And you're like, hang on, she won the last bonus round. Like,
you got it, and you've got yourself 3 out of 4 right, and that means you've won a Casio VL Tone as a prize. You didn't do too well the last time, did you? But maybe today and this one right now, you can do a little bit better and win a prize.
I told you, Mark doesn't want to be there.
No, he was trying to add a bit of personality, but he forgot to bring it with him.
I'll tell you what this is. That man is clearly a contract player at that studio, and they had him under contract to do X amount of shows, and he needed one more show to fulfill his contract.
Yeah.
And they went, hey, you want to do a show about video games? And his exact reaction, I guarantee you, was this. Fine. Pours a scotch. Whatever you say, boys.
Just to finish off the standard scope of Toot that I have written about notes, Mark Richards hosted the first 23 episodes, but was replaced by Jeff Edwards, who we'll come to in the second episode that we watched. Yeah, for being too stiff and showing no interest in video games.
Also,
he really couldn't be bothered to be there. So, yeah, that was a fun episode. And, again, Heidi wins. Like I say, wiped the floor with John, who really looked awkward because I'm sure he expected kind of an equal match. Have you got anything else to add about Mark Richards?
No.
No? It's kind of there
and done. I'm not going to lie, it was dull. It was not an enjoyable watching experience.
So, let's move on to episode 19, which was your choice because it had Pac-Man Plus on it.
Of season 4.
Yep, of season 4. Because I don't have season 2 or 3.
So this is a new host.
Yep.
Jeff was his name?
Jeff Edwards.
Jeff Edwards. And I tell you, I'm going to skip to the end slightly here. I'll tell you what I loved about this episode was there is a complete goof in it that they've just left in where clearly the show is running over time and the producer is clearly off camera signalling to the host. And you can see him, he's trying to talk.
He's doing like this you weird can see king keep line with his hand, isn't he? Yeah. It's like line zip. Like it's like he's trying to zip something.
But the presenter, you can see him trying to talk, but you can see his eyes keep darting over to the side, and then he starts to falter in his words, and he just gives up, looks off camera and goes, what are you saying? I don't know what that means. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Whatever this means, we're out of time, so goodbye, folks.
But you played so well today. It's been nice knowing you, nice having you here on Starcade, so we'll wish you good. What are you doing? I don't know what you're doing there for. I don't understand that sign. Whatever that means, it's time for us to go, okay?
Yeah. And it's like, I can't believe they've left that in.
Yeah, they couldn't have done another take for the end of the, like...
Yeah.
They were finishing anyway.
It wasn't broadcast live, was it?
No.
No, I didn't
No,
think
I don't
so.
Believe... No, I don't think it was broadcast live.
Then why couldn't they just retake?
I know. That's my point. Were they running out of time for the day shoot? But then, like... Could you not give him 5 more seconds to close it down without harassing him with whatever that symbol meant with your hand? I don't know. The two contestants were two young men, probably around 20, both of them.
Tom Jones, wasn't it?
Tom Jones.
Sex bomb, sex bomb.
You can leave your hat on.
Just to be clear, neither of us are... anywhere near as talented singers as Tom Jones.
Sorry, you can speak for yourself.
It's not unusual to be in love with anyone.
Because I'm sure he sung that bit as well. Anyway,
what is this show?
It's not why Tom Jones.
Why is anyone listening to this show?
Because they love us.
If you're listening to this show, you need to analyse your priorities. And I say that as someone who's on this show.
Do you think if we rubbed our faces together, our beards would become like Velcro?
I thought we were about to say, would they start a fire?
Well, it could do. Some I'm wondering, are we kindling?
Well, yours is quite close trimmed, so I bet yours is like sandpaper.
Rub my face.
I'm not going to rub your face.
Rub my face.
No.
Anyway,
just
trying to see if this is the content that they're looking for. They get the feedback. Oh, I loved it when you were talking about each other's faces. Anyway, episode 19, season 4, Jeff Edwards hosting Steve Jones versus James Eggerman.
Eggman?
Yeah, I'd never heard of Eggerman as a name, but apparently there it is. I've heard of Edgerton or Egerton, but not Eggerman.
Oh, well.
But anyway.
Let's talk. Not that we judge people's appearances here, because this is a positive, by the way. We're not slagging us off. We're saying
no, this isn't an infinite.
This man has the chiselled jawline of, like, Henry Cavill.
I mean, he's a weedy nerd, but he's got...
But with Henry Cavill's chin.
Yeah, incredible chin. Like, smoother than Henry Cavill's chin. Like, his whole face, it was like a slide. You could ski down his face.
Yeah, it was smooth
as a baby's bum.
That dude needs to give up playing video games, start doing some steroids, get pumped.
I think we're 40 years too late,
and
Jamie.
You don't know. His face might still be silky smooth. And he could be...
He'd be in his 60s.
So? Arnie's in his 60s. He's still doing movies.
I wouldn't have called him baby smooth.
No, but what I'm saying is get hench. People like hench old men.
You think nerds often get hench?
Carrot Top did it.
Carrot Top's not a human. It's an alien from another world. Observing.
Tommy Wiseau is kind of hench, isn't he?
And he's also an alien observing.
Okay, Kunal Nanjiani.
I don't know who that
is. He did it for the Eternals.
What's the Eternals?
Marvel's new film. Kunal Nanjiani is an American comedian who usually bigs up his nerdy image. He's on Silicon... He's either on Alton Catchfire or Silicon Valley or one of them shows.
Is it a comedy you're thinking of?
Yeah, it's like a comedy drama.
Probably Silicon you're thinking of. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know him.
Whatever.
I have no idea who
you're
talking about.
Point is he got absolutely shredded as fuck for Eternals.
Okay.
And everyone's shocked because before he was just like a cute kind of chubby, like in a chubby way. And now everyone's got wet panties over him.
So you're telling me that Uwe Boll would have...
What's Uwe Boll got to do with this?
Because he was chubby chasing, wasn't he, in Postal last week?
Oh, yes. It's...
Yeah, this is at least, it should be a much cleaner episode.
Kunal Nanjiani was nowhere near that chubby.
No.
He was not chubby at all, really. He was just chubby by Hollywood standards.
Yeah, which is like, well, I was going to say like a size 2 or something.
Yeah, having 2% body fat. Oh, you flat fuck.
Anyway, so they played Moon Patrol, Pac-Man Plus, Discs of Tron, Cliffhanger, and Qbert. There was also Mr. Doo's Castle available, but they didn't play it, so we never saw it.
Why was this 6 games? No, you're wrong, though. That would make 6 games.
There was. They introduced 6 games, because remember, right in the final scene, he was like, Pac-Man Plus versus Mr. Doo's Castle. And I think the reason there was more... Now, I don't know if you felt this way, but in the first in the first season episode, it felt like there was non-stop commercial breaks.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel like that in the season 4 episode.
I won't lie, I'd kind of stopped paying attention at this point.
You need to stop paying attention.
Then you need to pick something good to watch.
I should have picked Starrcade. It's a classic. Everyone remembers Starrcade.
I thought we were going to be watching some WCW wrestling.
What, Starrcade?
Yeah, they had an event called Starrcade.
Did they?
Yeah.
Why would we watch wrestling? It's terrible.
Better than this.
Yeah, it was.
Rory, I've come up with an idea for the greatest show of all time. Starrcade, but it crosses over both Starrcades. One weedy nerd versus one steroid-infused wrestler. First they play a video game, then they have a cage match.
That doesn't work when the nerd opponent is Heidi.
It makes it even better.
The Rock versus Heidi.
I want to see... I know he's dead, but
Stone
I want to see...
Steve Austin.
I want to see Macho Man Randy Savage deliver a flying elbow to Heidi, the 8-year-old girl.
I think there's a police presence coming for us now.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to snap into a Slim Jim.
Heidi, hi. Anyway, So they play these...
What are we doing
amazing
with
old games. Don't worry, we're going to go back to proper films in a bit. I noted some of the prizes. So in the first episode, some of the prizes included, you can win your own arcade cabinet. You can win video game stuff.
Terrible.
They look terrible, but at least they were video game related. But then the second one we watched in season 4, you can win a bionic chair, which was just...
It was just a chair.
It was just
that rocks.
Curved chair that rocked a bit, and you had a footstool that was curved.
Yeah.
But it looked really uncomfortable even then. And then...
The girl who was modelling the chair, she's in like a U-shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't she?
That can't be good for your spine.
No.
And then this metal... it's called a white metal detector. So you can go around detecting... I'm like, is that just so you can find pennies to play at the arcade? Like... Give me the arcade machine like you did in season 1, you bastards.
Yeah, but by then the video game crash happened.
That's true.
The arcade cabinets are worthless.
Well, then, in which case, we have more reason to give it to the contestants. Just give it to... You get an arcade cabinet. You get an arcade cabinet. You get
an arcade cabinet. Everyone gets an arcade cabinet.
Absolutely. Oh, do you remember this one?
I think let's address how the contestant felt about those prizes.
Oh, yes. Good.
Well.
Oh, God.
So they announced the prizes.
No, it wasn't for those. It was for the next set of prizes where he got... I can't remember the name of the console, but it was a console I'd never heard of before.
It's the Spectra Video SV328, a complete computer system for home and business, featuring 112K of memory, a disk drive, and an expansion box, Spectra Video.
And it was obviously one of those ones that caused the video game crash. It was like...
Oh, it was an educational one. It wasn't even a one, was it?
It was like some... Oh, I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember what it's called, but it took floppy disks.
Yeah,
it had a floppy disk.
Well, no, but you needed the extension floppy disk. Reader that they gave you, but it was like everything was plugged in as an accessory to.
Yeah,
it was just awful looking thing. It looked tacky as anything.
But this guy, usually on a game show, even when it's kind of a crappy prize, they're like, hey Jim, tell us what they can win. And they'll be like, well, you can win a toaster. Obviously, like,
no one cares.
No one cares. But contestants still have the good grace to be like, wow, sort of thing. This guy, he does not give two shits, does he? He is just stone-faced, his face drops.
In fact, his expression is more like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, and at one point, I can only describe it as abject disappointment.
Yeah.
And wondering why he's wasted his time.
Yeah, yeah. What is my life?
At that point, he's thinking, I should have let Steve Jones win.
Yeah, yeah, you can have the fucking shitty educational software. So James Eggerman wins, and then he has to do, like, the final challenge to take home the games console. He fails, because he gets only 1,970 points. I just want to make this quote, though, from host Jeff Edwards, which we were like, is it... was 1970 a great year, not a great score. We're like, was 1970 a great year?
I don't really know anything that happened in 1970.
I can't think of anything particularly important.
Oh, not quite. 1970 a great year, but not a great score. That's too bad, James.
This is when we found out, like, JFK died or something.
No, that was 63.
Yeah.
11/22.
Did anything happen in 19? I think it was like a year where no one was born, nobody died, nothing. was developed.
That would make it a special year if it was a year where literally no one died.
Okay, maybe 1970 didn't happen. We won't know. We weren't born. I'll ask my mum.
So it didn't happen in the same way 2020 didn't happen.
Exactly.
We've all collectively agreed it just didn't happen.
Maybe that's what it is.
What, there was a global pandemic we've all forgot about.
It's better than remembering it.
Anyway, Jack, and we'll do that with this one.
I hope
ten years from now they'll be like, "Mummy, Daddy, where were you in 2020? Slap. 2020 didn't exist. Nothing happened that year. Absolutely nothing.
All I did was see clearly because it's 2020.
Oh,
it's the best joke of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't drop your remote. Okay, the last little bit then, because we've got a little bit of a leg left. So why don't we move on to discussing what came after? We've discussed what came before with TV POW and what came out roughly at the same time a little bit. And obviously the show itself. There's really not much more to discuss on the show. What came after and what you think could have been done to improve Starcade? So, following this in America, there were a couple of other shows. There wasn't anything really like Starcade again that was directly video game related. Because people moved on, they realised that video gamers weren't really watching TV to play video games. Though, in the 90s, there was a resurgence. A good 10 years later, 1992, the very first video game magazine show called Games Master came out. Now, the key difference with Games Master is a format. over Starcade. And we'll get into Games Master more in its own episode. It's the term magazine. There were gaming challenges in Games Master, but it also added news, reviews, it had cheats, tips, and there was more serious tone
as well.
And the other thing is the quality of the hosts. Now, Jeff Edwards was clearly a bit better than Mark Richards, but I wouldn't have called him a standout. I wouldn't have sat there and go, this show wouldn't have worked without Jeff Edwards.
Not to be offensive, but he looked like someone's granddad who'd wandered in on his way to a walking
and yet somehow was still better than Mark Richards. Yeah. With Games Master, they made the right choice of hiring a comedian in Dominic Diamond.
Is he a comedian?
He was at the time. Yeah. Mm. He's no more of a radio personality in Canada, but he's...
In Canada?
Yeah, he moved to Canada.
Did he?
Yeah, so he did another game show after Games Master called When Games Attack, which I've got, so we can watch that at some point. Though I don't think it holds up quite as well, personally. And then he got off drugs and went to Canada.
Drugs.
Talking about drugs. So, yeah, you've got Games Master, which had more of a comedic bent. In UK, we also had Bad Influence a year later, which had Violet Berlin, who ended up being in pretty much every single video game-based show. That was, like, magazine show that there was during the 90s. But, yeah, so there was a series of them, and then all of that kind of died around the mid-2000s because everything then shifted online, and all of the discussion and sort of, not quite magazine-style show, but a lot more of the discussion and debate on video games shifted to YouTube and stuff like that. So it died almost completely. There's the closest we've had to any form of revival until... what I was about to mention was Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit.
Oh, right.
On Dave. Dara O'Brien led a video game show where he and a couple of celebrity comedians, and they would have guest stars who wouldn't normally other comedians come in, would have like gameplay challenges. So it's very similar to this, really. Much more like this. There was no magazine elements. So it really was much more closer to Starcade. However, I think the problem was is there's not enough in that. And it just felt like a comedian inviting his mates in to play games, which is fine in some respects, but it seemed like an overly glossy production for that.
I'll tell you how we make that better as well, because I'm an ideas man. I made Sega Hard Girls better last week. I made Starcade better. Now I'm going to make that better. We're going to combine that with our previous episode, Stay Alive. And
what do you mean our previous episode in Stay Alive? What about Postal?
No, Stay Alive, so...
I can't believe you've now come... And Stay Alive has helped you in your estimation so much that you've now omitted Sega Hard Girls and Postal.
No, sit me out. I'm making Stay Alive better as well.
Right.
Comedians.
Yeah.
Invites friends over to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And if they die in the game, someone blows their head off with a shotgun. Now that's entertainment.
I think killing celebrities might still be illegal.
For now.
Okay, so with Starcade, is there a way you think the format or the idea could be revived in such a way that it would be better, watchable? Like, what would you change if you were going to do it?
I don't think you can, and I don't think you should. I think you've answered your own question when you said everything's moved online now. You wouldn't do a TV show. To be honest, the closest I would say is you could do... I mean, we already have these, is competitive games played on Twitch. Because now there is a... Now that Twitch exists, that is a platform for gamers. So gamers will watch that on Twitch. They're not going to watch it on regular television. Whereas normal, average viewers aren't going to watch a show like Starcade if it was made today.
Sure.
And you put it on, I don't know, ITV or whatever, Channel 4, people aren't going to watch it.
So you don't think that there is a... So you don't think there's a market for a... Well, I say more glossy. Starcade looked ropey as frick, but like a more glossy television-style video game show.
Keep it on Twitch.
Wow.
Keep it on Twitch.
Do you not miss some of that sort of gloss to TV shows? Because I suppose there's some gloss to some of these. The idea that...
Most of these Twitch streamers are multimillionaires. That's more budget than ITV had given to do a reboot of Starcade.
I get bored of looking at people's bedrooms.
Well, no, this is what I'm saying. Get a fucking green screen or something.
I don't want a green... I get bored of green screen. I hate green screen. It's the one thing that I hate about Twitch. It's the reason why I don't really get into Twitch, is that everyone's on there going, look at me in my space background. Well, I'm cut out badly and my face half disappears when I turn around. And when these people are millionaires and they build a set, and then they build a set which is their bedroom, and I'm like, well, that's not all. Why are you doing that? I watched one guy, right,
And he literally, the camera, he was sat facing what looked like just a bog-stand laptop on a dining room table. And behind him is this green wall. And it's not a green screen, it's just like a green wall with a, like a picture frame hung on it. And next to that, just on the side of the, like the right side of the frame, is what looks like a brick chimney flue. You're like, okay, so he's like in the corner of his dining room in his house. And the first thing he says is, guys, I'm back from, you know, whatever it was he was doing, because that's the only time I watched him and I didn't finish it. And you're just, because it annoyed me, because he was like, yeah, so I'm really glad to be back in the studio, you know, with having built a really good set for this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Yeah, you wasted money on building a set that's the corner of your house.
That's obviously someone with no creative vision. But you got to remember, Rory, as you yourself have alluded to this episode, we are old men at this point.
I want
to
be old.
And the well, I don't think we are old. We're only in our 30s. I'm only just in my 30s. But that is considered ancient and out of date by now. You're out of date by the time you're 25 these days. And the fact is that Gen Z, they want people in their bedrooms. They don't want overproduced. See, this is I have this same problem with music.
Is that they don't want that, or is it that, that there's nobody offering it?
I think it's that they don't want to.
Because I remember in the early 2010s, there was this statement, nobody plays horror, nobody wants to play horror.
Yeah.
And then when it became popular throughout via the indie circuit, all of a sudden, oh, we'll make horrors.
Yeah,
so, oh, I thought nobody wanted to play horrors, and they did the same. Nobody wants to play single-player games.
They're into minimalism, aren't they? It's why I don't get on with modern music. Like, let's take Billie Eilish for an example, right?
Now,
nothing against Billie Eilish. Well done to her for being artistic, making her music, and she should make it the way she wants to. I personally don't get it, because it's so minimalist. Like, there's so little instrumentation. To be fair, I've heard maybe two songs, including her Bond theme.
But the other songs I've heard...
But there's so little instrumentation on it, and she sings in this very quiet, very flat way.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm a very excessive person, as you can probably tell by the fact that I weigh 5,000 pounds. I can't do things in small doses. I like my songs to be big and bombastic and my singers to have a lot of range, and I'm the same in my content. I would love a show with a huge set and jokes and skits and
but then
game challenges.
Are you not stating that you yourself would be the audience for something like Starcade?
But they don't make TV for people our age.
But that's my point. Is it that there is no one generating content for people our age, or is it that the reason they don't generate the content is because there's no one to watch? It's very possible that if they made the content, someone would tune in.
Well, here's the thing, though. Because we're a weird generation, me and you. I think you count as a millennial as well, right?
Yeah, I'm a millennial.
We're a weird generation because we're kind of...
1986, so millennials 1984 to 99, I think?
95.
Oh, okay, 96. Yes. Yeah, in which case I'm still in there.
Basically, we're the generation that we're half like the boomers. Was it the boomers before us or Gen X? Gen X
before
we're half like Gen X. You know, we're half analog, half digital.
Yes.
Our generation. Because here's the thing. Although I'm saying I'd love a show like that, I wouldn't watch it on TV, because one thing I do have in common with millennials is I don't like being dictated to by TV schedules.
No, but would you not have it on Netflix? Yeah, that's my point. No, you wouldn't necessarily go, right, well, let's try and sell this to Channel 4. Mm. It would be, can we get this on Netflix or something that is, you know, or Amazon Prime, maybe, though that's kind of where things go to die.
I'd consider watching it on Netflix.
Yeah.
The problem is I'm also old-fashioned in the sense that I'm not a big fan of the modern games industry.
Well, no, I'd make it retro.
This thing, it would have to be retro, because I'm not interested in watching a bunch of edgelords play COD.
Yeah.
And issuing racial slurs at each other. My brother used to play Halo online, and I'd be in the room, you know, reading or something, and I'd be listening to the way they talk on the computer. And I'm not a prude by any sense, but they're N-word this and C-word that. And I'd be like...
Constant stream of abuse, basically.
And, oh, there's nothing worse than hearing a 14-year-old call someone the F-word. And you're like, you're 14, like, grow up.
Oh, wow, so you met some of the more mature players on Halo. When I played, they were mostly, hey, guys!
I would love it if there was some more challenging content. Like, if they actually got gamers and were like, you need to complete Doom without firing a single bullet. I'd watch that.
Okay.
With witty commentary. I'd need witty commentary.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying there is potentially a market for... Not necessarily Starcade in its current form. Far from it. I think Starcade is...
yeah, well out of
as
place.
A game show, it's gone. It's dead, yeah, and gone.
But like, there is potentially a generation missed.
Give me that show that I've just described with Bruce Campbell narrating.
Bruce Campbell is a brilliant host. And that's only if you have an American. I mean, if we were going to go with Brits, you could probably get a comedian, but I wouldn't want it to be like Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit. No. That just felt like a comedian and his mates, but with way too much gloss.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough content. I think what was good about Games Master over something like Starcade is it added the magazine element.
Yeah.
Now, some of those elements aren't relevant anymore. You couldn't do them. You wouldn't put, like, reviews. Because by the time that you've finished the production of an episode and given the review, the game is out of date.
And gone.
Yeah, so it's not really of much use to anyone. But you could do a certain amount of content, like try and get exclusives.
You could look
stuff
forward
like that.
To games, do previews.
Yeah, exactly. Do previews, get exclusives, things like that. That would work fine.
We got an exclusive sneak peek in the Capcom offices at Street Fighter 12 or whatever.
People would buy into that, I think. So I actually think there is a market for this, and it's just not being catered to by...
Then maybe we should use the studio we have access to and get on this.
Well, I've written a show if you want to do... If you're interested in it. You don't like that show?
Too many projects on already.
No. Well, you're the one who's... No, come on! I'll do the production of it. You just give me the studio, Danny.
Are we recommending it? I think no. I think there's no value in watching this. It's so old. It's so out of date. Most of the games on there you won't even have heard of.
Yeah. I would recommend some modern variant of something similar, but absolutely couldn't recommend this show.
No.
I want to say it's not necessarily a bad show, but it's only because it's so generic that it couldn't really have been... It's not.
It has no personality.
If you're the type of person who will sit up all night watching Jeopardy, you could probably do that with Starcade with no issue. If you sit up all night watching episodes of Wheel of Fortune going round and round and round, then fine, you probably get into Starcade, but it's incredibly out of date. It would be a curio, if anything. I don't think there's any way I could recommend it and go, well, look, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you shouldn't... No, I couldn't. I wouldn't recommend it. Would you recommend it?
No. Let's move on.
Okay.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. Spread the word to all of your friends because we need the downloads.
Tell your friends. Let them know that Christ is here. We're delivering content to you.
At the moment, we're just starving creatives living on one tin of baked beans between us.
Literally starving.
Are you hungry?
No.
Goodbye, people.
Game over, yeah! Cyberpunk Studios.